Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love. Have you ever considered what will happen when the language of cosmic love becomes common sense with a common language? Are you aware that this love language is, in fact, the learning process, the creative process, and the processes of consciousness at the quintessential foundation of self-governance? Think about that. Such a language of consciousness has the potential to involve and evolve our individual and collective consciousness. This is what cosmic love is all about, higher conscience. Give yourself a checkup from the neck up. What do you think will happen to your world and the world at large as we become more conscious of how we are conscious, both individually and collectively? I'll give you a big hint. Take a good look at the worldwide web of consciousness that the internet has created. Consider this new net reality for what it truly is, a global revolution in higher consciousness. The instant, everywhere, interactive internet has eliminated space and time. We're all connected in the global village now. All knowledge is at your fingertips. Knowledge power as never before known to humanity. But where's the cosmic love, you may ask? There's a new net reality shaping the consciousness of humanity. Freedom to know better and the opportunity to do better has far outpaced the ability of our core institutions to keep up with the revolutionary capabilities for all humanity. That's what the internet represents, the evolving consciousness of humanity, the collective consciousness of humanity, and the collective future of humanity. That's where cosmic love comes in. Any good metaphysician with his finger on the pulse of humanity could tell you that. If you step out of the box of contemporary groupthink and if you become an objective observer of the evolutionary ascent of net reality caused by the internet, you will not only see a huge wave of change coming, but also the nature of that change and the role that cosmic love will play in change events. There is a natural evolutionary path to these changes. Cosmic love is a blueprint for that change. It always has been. But humanity is just beginning to grasp the multidimensional consciousness required to navigate the vast, uncharted realm of inner space, the internet, at the heart of the internet. This is the new global village consciousness that is defining the collective conscience of humanity. Let's get real. Net reality is what we make it. Where do you think it's going? How do you think we'll get through the birth pangs of a new world being born? Are you ready for the next big thing in the computer internet revolution? Would you agree that the best way to predict the future is to create it? Cosmic love is the answer to these questions. All I ask is that you listen and learn. See how you can catch the biggest wave of opportunity in history. I'll explain how you can ride that wave for phenomenal win-win benefits for yourself and all humanity. Those hearing this are obviously computer literate, so connect the dots. Get a grip on the net reality of global connection with the benefits of cosmic love. Someone has to do it. May it begin with us, united sovereigns in a united state of cosmic love. Always victory when we love enough, keep the faith. Get the vision, embrace the virtue, make the vow, and claim the victory of cosmic love in your world and the world at large.
Greetings, everyone. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love, Saturday, July 18th, and we're going to have today on the show an expert in preparedness, Dennis Korn. And Dennis, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, good. Well, I wanted to give a little introduction to Dennis as what he's been involved with one of the founders of one of the major food companies going back to 1974, food companies dealing with preparedness supplies for backpackers, campers, people that want either short-term food reserves for trips or just for long-term food reserves for their home or their pantry program or whatever. And Dennis is, like myself, he started out with a health food store. When was that, back about 1974?
Yeah, we started in 74, opened it in 75, and it's gone all the way since.
Yeah, and I've pretty much got the same beginning. Mine opened about 1979, back in Meat and Potatoes, Midwest, Troy, Ohio. And that got me involved with, it was more a natural food store, whole food grains and herbs and supplements. And
that's exactly what I did.
Yeah, and
Whole foods,
that's
herbs,
Whole foods, and got into the whole nutrition perspective and looking at food reserves from that perspective. What is the best high quality foods for the short and long term? And I've kind of followed Dennis over the years. His company, Alpenair Foods, it became one of the real leaders in the industry. And since then, he's got a new food line that he's been developing and a new website. What do you call that? Prepare Direct. I think I've got a link on that on the website, Cosmic Love. You can click on that and check out his different food packages, food reserves, and other preparedness items. And I thought it would be really interesting to have Dennis in. He's just kind of reinvented himself with this new website. Like I said, he's been in the industry a long time and was the founder of Alpenair Foods. And those who have been in the industry or been into even backpacking supplies have probably seen the Alpenair food line. And he developed a food line called Gourmet Reserves, which was, how would you describe that, Dennis?
Well, it's the same basic products, the products that we sold to the backpackers, the campers, expeditions, military, but they're very higher quality, a lot of reliance on freeze-dried products. So what I tried to do on that, is to develop food products for long-term reserves that actually tasted very familiar, tasted very good. Nutritionally, we supplied so many major first ascents and various climbs and expeditions and so forth that we had the experience nutritionally using these specialized products.
Okay, folks.
Extremely.
Okay, I do need to cut in here for a second.
We are
having that echo still, and I put you on three different digital phones.
You want to call me back on my cell?
Well, I think it might have something to do with maybe a setting Rudy you might have that's causing this echo back to him or something. It's just very unusual.
I never had this before, and I'm not doing
then
anything.
Then it might be your guest, because we've tried.
No, actually, I'm hearing it as when you talk.
Really?
When this fell, Don, when you're talking, I'm hearing an echo.
Yeah. Well, again, I'm not sure what to do. I've tried you on three different phone lines, and I can't get rid of it. So, and that's on three different digital companies I've used.
Does the listener hear it?
Oh yes, everybody's hearing it. And I could try you on just a regular AT&T landline. We can avoid all forms of digital type of connections. And try that. It's going to be, it won't be optimal.
Well,
whatever you want. My cell phone's pretty good. I can plug it in the wall here, so it's not going to go dead or anything.
All right. Well, we can try that. Chris, I apologize for intruding on you and your show.
We can always edit this out.
Oh, sure. Exactly. Well, I'm going to pull your guest then off the air. Continue on. I love listening to you.
Okay. I haven't done anything, like I say, different on this phone. So
yes. All right, what's your cell number, please?
Yeah, it's area code 530.
Bear with me.
Okay.
All right. Okay, I'll back out and try to resolve this.
Do you want me to oh,
yeah,
on
just,
the phone?
Yeah, just keep, you're on the air. We're all on the air. Just keep talking away.
Well, okay. Well, anyway, I was going to ask everyone if they have a chance to see the website on Cosmic Love. There's links there with more information on Dennis's website, who he is, what he's done. And he has a really good introductory article called The 10 Essential Questions to Answer at the Beginning of Your Preparedness Planning Process. And that's a good orientation to, you might say, the philosophy and the processes and to keep in mind when you're into preparedness mode. And I should also mention here at the beginning, and I hope to mention here before the end of the website, that he's got this new website up, and if you order anything off his website in the checkout process, you can enter the coupon code number 709 at checkout and get a 5% discount on all purchases here through the end of July. So that's kind of an introductory a bonus that you can get if you want to click through those links that are on the Cosmic Love website. It's a good introduction to Dennis, who he is, where he's coming from, and his website link and that article I just mentioned. So I thought I'd get into a kind of a general free-for-all here with Dennis on some different things. We could go through, Dennis, some of those points, the 10 essential questions. Actually, people can do that on their own. They can click through that on that link that's provided on the Cosmic Love website. I wanted to kind of highlight that for people that want to take a good look at what they can do. Off the top of your head, what would you say the priority there is, Dennis? Are you still there, Dennis?
Yeah, we're going to try to get on another line.
You still can do that?
How's it sound?
Well, you sound okay to me. I'm not sure. Maybe it's because Don was on the phone. I don't know. How do you, again, off the top of your head on those 10 essential questions, Dennis, what's your priority there from the top down?
Well, that's a good question. What I have determined, and I, these questions,
okay, we're still getting it. And, Chris, I'm going to have to phone you back. Your guest can just monologue if that's possible for a while. Chris, I'm going to phone you back, see if that
solves
it.
I can do that. We can talk about this.
Okay, let's try that.
Okay.
You go for it, Dennis. Go take it from the top on the top 10.
Okay. That's why I could keep talking. Okay, so I'm going to talk about this program I put together, these questions I put together. I call them the 10 essential questions to answer at the beginning of your preparedness planning process. Basically, what's happening here, a lot of folks that do prepare and that want to prepare, they just don't know where to start. They really don't know what questions to ask. They have a pretty basic idea of what they want to do, but it's a process that most folks have not gone through. So what I have put together are these 10 questions, and just a few notes on my website, which is prepare. Oops, I'm getting another call. Maybe they're trying to get my hello. Is it working? Who's this? Yeah. Oh, okay. So I was still talking on the cell phone. Oh, okay. Sorry. Sorry, folks. I have problems here with the phone lines and trying to get an echo out of it. But anyway, I'll continue on here. So on the process of really determining your preparedness needs, preparedness planning is fundamentally built on two principles. And this is something that you ought to keep in mind whenever dealing with these questions or any aspect of preparedness. First, you need to develop a philosophical or a personal worldview while evaluating and assessing the current state of affairs. And what do you think is going on out there? What's your take on on the current state of affairs, and you really need to have a world view about that before you prepare anything. And the second principle is then, of course, developing a specific plan of action, which really is based on your reflective conclusions, your needs, and the physical conditions that you anticipate to occur. So first there's your philosophy and your worldview, and then, of course, there's the specific actions to take once you've reflected. I get into more detail on this on the website, which is preparedirect.com. You start out with a proper attitude, of course. And don't react from fear. Don't react because you've heard a bunch of stuff that kind of sounds ominous. You really just take this a step at a time, because it's an important process, and it's a process you ultimately need to take responsibility for. Anyway, getting into these questions, let's go over the first two are actually essential. And as important as they are, often people...
All right. I think... thank you. Thank you. I apologize for breaking in, but, you know, if I don't break in quickly, we'll still lose more of your show, and I want to get it off to the right start now that we have both of you. But I am hearing, again, a little tiny echo.
I don't hear anything myself.
I don't hear any echo right now. Do you hear an echo when I'm talking?
No.
No, it's actually, I hope we got it. Okay.
All righty.
Okay, you want me to just carry on here?
Carry on, my friend. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I hope the audience is out there. Bear with us the technical issues of the day, of course. Anyway, I was about to start here on these essential first questions. And this goes for any preparedness planning process, whether it be food, whether it be any of the other elements to the process. And the first question is, what are the circumstances or scenarios that you have determined may exist that will require you to rely upon your preparedness supplies? And what will be the severity?
Okay, I apologize. It may sound like comedy hour right now, but we've got it back, and I don't know how to get rid of it, folks. So,
you're hearing something, too.
Yep.
I'm
what would you like to do, Christopher? Do you want to just carry on with the show and
I don't know, Don. Do you have this in the other shows?
No, I don't. This is just related to this program right now.
Is it when there's two people online?
It's when you two speak together, there's an echo that happens. Now, once in a while, it's with you and I. I believe it's on your end, Chris, and it could be the phone connection I connected with you. But again, I tried you on Comcast, Broad Voice, and now on Vonage, or all of you, and I'm still getting the echoes. And we have,
strange.
I mean, I could try you on a couple more digital companies or analog, but again, it's a little odd.
it's the same phone system I've used before.
Right. Well, see, do you have a DSL type phone? Or an internet?
No, I don't.
A cable phone?
Don't have internet, cable. I just got a regular
phone. Landline. And how about your guest?
Yeah.
And your guest?
Huh?
How about your guest?
I do have DSL.
DSL. Okay.
Did you try your cell phone?
Disconnect the DSL and put... Because I can write back in without going through DSL if you'd like.
Did you try your cell phone?
Yeah, well, I'm on my cell phone right now.
Oh. Oh, that's your DSL.
Well, yeah, but we were on his DSL before. Now we're on his cell. I've tried everything I know of to get rid of this. I really don't know what to do at this point except follow your lead.
Well, is it a really noxious echo?
It can be that way, yeah. I mean, nobody wants to listen to the words repeated a few times. It gets to be kind of boring. I could try your guest back and let you continue without your guest until I get him on just a regular landline. And see.
Well, why don't I try that for a while, and I'll just talk for a while and see what you can do with Dennis into with the show.
Exactly. And now your audience has heard this, and it's nice that they did, and I like the audience to know what's going on when we do have problems. So.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll go ahead. And.
But we'll edit it out of the archive.
There we go.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, my friend.
So, Dennis,
Don, what do you want me to do?
You hang up.
Okay, hang up my cell phone, hang everything up.
Yeah, hang up,
gonna,
hang up. Yeah.
He's going to call you back.
Okay, yeah.
Very good.
All right, so I apologize to everyone for the delay here.
Sorry about that. Okay, I'm going to back out,
Okay, and the archived version that we work out here in the future, he'll edit this stuff out. In the meantime, a little bit of a drama. Those who listen to my introductory piece that was largely about the internet phenomena. Dennis and I had a talk earlier today, and we talked about how the internet is a metaphor for the thinning of the veil, you might say, which is the word, if you look at the Greek word apocalypse, apocalypse means the thinning of the veil. And, of course, that has a lot of different meanings to different people. Those who have listened to Cosmic Love on this show before, I've sometimes got into talking about that the veil is thinning because there is a new sense of connection in global humanity with the instant everywhere interactive internet reality that I sometimes refer to as net reality, is a short version of internet reality. And discussing what's going on with you might say the shrinking of our global village with time and space being eliminated, virtually eliminated, in the sense of this new instant everywhere interactive connection. So Dennis and I were talking about that, and what happens when the sense of connection globally, the sense of we are one, you know, one earth, one family of man in a global village, as that common sense accelerates, intensifies, which is happening. And some people say it's happening because of this new net reality, this new internet connection. Other people say it's happening, and I would, because these new energies on the 2011-2012 timeline, sometimes referred to as a dimensional shift.
We do have your guest.
We do?
Yeah, I am back.
Yes,
we're
going
to give it a shot again.
We went all analog all the way.
Okay.
All analog.
Well, there's no echo. There's no echo, I guess. So, well, anyway, Dennis, I was going into how we talked earlier about the internet as a metaphor for this word apocalypse, the thinning of the veil in the collective consciousness of humanity. And we could go into details on the 10 essential questions to answer at the beginning of your preparedness planning process. But people can link that and read that themselves, and it would be kind of redundant if we did that. I thought, well,
exactly. I wasn't going to spend a whole lot of time on every one of them, but I just wanted to point out the first two, of course. And then if you want to talk about that at the very end.
Well, we might get into that.
That's up to you.
I thought some of the drama of what's going on in the collective consciousness of humanity and why are there so many serious problems surfacing right now. I mean, that's anyone that's listened to the show to this point, it probably would like it.
It might get a little weirder yet, folks, only because I'm adjusting levels, I'm trying to get analog and digital to sound comfortable together. That's always a trick, so I'm doing it live. Bear with me, folks. Give me a break.
Fine.
It's so it is so hot in this studio.
Oh, really? Well, I got to tell you, I'm keeping it light. I just got back from Chico Hot Springs. I soaked for about an hour. It's just the weather's heavenly here in Montana right now. And I like to do that for the show to loosen up. So I'm not taking any of this too seriously, although I really would like to kind of feature some of the great extemporaneous perspectives Dennis has on this whole preparedness things. Not so much in terms of the details of a process, which is gets into his scholastic academic skills as a university professor.
Well, you did bring it up, and we did have a great conversation, and
did.
Everybody has. One of my perspectives, of course, teaching critical thinking, I try to approach subject matter in two ways. There's the critical thinking process, which is a more logical, and reasonable and rational point of view. However, you can't help but have a component of intuition, faith, kind of the non-tangible side of any reflection and any evaluation. You've got
there
to balance
go.
Them out.
Where the right brain meets the left brain.
Yeah, exactly. And so many questions come up. The bottom line here is when a lot of people look at what's going on, they say, oh, my goodness, what in the world is happening right now? And, of course, the polarization,
yeah.
We've talked about that. You've got these energies colliding with each other, and I suppose, and I don't mind using the term, there are energies which are dark and energies which are light.
You know, we got into talking about how light brings up all unlike itself, and how there's a new light, you might say, a new conscience that is a great equalizer to social inequality. And it's largely been this connection where people can get the truth of what's going on in the world for themselves, you know, the Internet. And there's, because of that, people on their own or might say have a direct relationship with the God truth.
You mentioned a key word there, and I think as kind of an extension of some of the things we talked about, is that within all of us, there is, especially people listening to this show, as you're going on the Internet for information and so forth, not going to the mainstream media and so forth, there is a need, there is a vacuum, a place within everyone that seeks to know the truth. What is really going on here?
And wants to get it directly.
Right, and wants to get it directly. We talked about that. And not have to go through somebody else's point of view, some other assumptions and so forth. So people are really desiring, I feel, this direct connection with what is really going on, what is the truth of it all, and of course the next obvious question is, so what's my role in this? What should I do now? You can create a worldview, as we talked about a little bit in this process. However, it has to be practical action also. So you can look at this, you can assess it. And then the question so many people ask is, now what do I do? And the big concern I really feel is, who do you trust? People have to go out there and get a direct experience of all of this, because there's a lot of deception, a lot of delusion, and that is one of the things that people are really clamoring for, and that is the truth. And so they know really what to do.
What they really want, I think your key word there is discernment.
Discernment, exactly.
It
is a very important
word. How to cut through the crap and really get to the, you know, the straight skinny regarding the deep doo-doo.
Exactly. And I think discernment is a very important characteristic for all of us to seek at this point. There is so much that is going on, and you mentioned the Internet. Of course, there are still some places to go to, perhaps, to get a little bit better idea of what's going on than others. The Internet, some talk radio is good, but even on the Internet, we have to be careful. Well, there's a lot of weird stuff floating around out there. It's really, go inside and really pray about it and meditate, whatever activity a person does, and to really seek.
We talked about this process that I believe is going on of when I say mass awakening, and whether you attribute that to the Internet or the dimensional shift of energies on the 2011-2012 timeline that's rebooting everyone's DNA or whatever. You know, there's definitely by itself this computer Internet revolution, connection of instant everywhere, interactive, you know, capability is giving people this option of a direct relationship with the truth. And there is a judgment going on, you might say a collective judgment regarding organized BS as a belief system.
Right.
And that this judgment, this awakening to organized BS as a belief system is based on, the this BS belief system is based on mass deception, mass delusion, and people are awakening to that. And so there's awakening to the problem and awakening to the solution. And there's a lot of references in scripture about people waking up to eternal contempt and eternal salvation, because what's happening is the veil thins and there's this awakening that people are becoming aware of so much BS belief system as organized religion, politics, institutions that no longer serve the purpose for which they were created. And we're talking about a huge drama that's coming to a head right now and getting real interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, and there's another component. I mean, I think it's human nature for so many people to somewhat resist the level by which the truth is coming out. This is not just, he's a Republican or a Democrat, do we do this or that? This is much deeper than this. We have some very significant changes that will be required to really grasp the significance of what's going on. There is so much going on just in a political, an economic way, a consciousness. There's just so much going on right now. People are trying to grasp, and it's in a sense, quote, scary, because much may have to be let go. A new way of discerning what's going on will have to take its place, and that's very uncomfortable for a lot of folks.
Well,
I think
what to do. The scariness comes from fear of the unknown. It's just like there is an unknown factor here. There's a lot of confusion, but at the same time, transcending that really comes down to the expression, with vision the healing begins. Without vision, the people perish, and without vision is that fear of the unknown. People just don't know. There's so much confusion, and we talked about earlier how the right has been made left, and the right has been made wrong, and the left has been made right, and politically,
in is out. there's an Orwellian experience of everything being the opposite of what it really is, and for obvious purposes. I think what it boils down to also during this process where people are going to, and it's something I've just said all the time, whether it comes media, where it becomes a your own spiritual path, wherever you go, the question then is, who do you trust? And a lot of folks are beginning to be very discouraged because they don't know where to go and don't know who to trust. They don't want to be deceived. They felt that, especially in the political realm right now, my goodness, you can't trust anybody up there. And so when it comes to a spiritual situation, and we talked about equating this, the metaphor of, say, the book of Revelation, and so many of these different prophecies that are coming out, is it what is on the other end of it? We go through the cleansing process. We go through the transition. We go through whatever we have to go through. But it's ultimately trusting that whatever is happening right now is being directed, whatever word you want, by God, by forces, by whatever.
Source, whatever.
Ultimately, the light. Ultimately, for everyone's betterment. It doesn't mean it's not going to get tough and so forth. But ultimately, we know who wins in the end.
Jesus wins.
Yes,
love wins.
Yes, exactly. And
Revelations. That was the story you had about the janitor. About
that's a very common fellow. What do you think of the book of Revelation? And sum it up, because it's a pretty controversial book. And he said, "Yeah, Jesus wins." Because that's really what it's about. It's about people resisting what's right in front of them, and stuff that we've been talking about, that you've been talking about. There is so much of that polarity going on here, and people are going to resist it. Either you're going to be called to whatever is true and who you're going to trust, or you're going to resist it all and follow the, I hate to say the term, but I don't know what other you do, the dark path. It is a Star Wars in front of our very eyes.
It's a modern-day Star Wars metaphor.
That's right. You're going to go to the dark side, or you going and the light side may not be easy and may be scary and may require a lot of very personal serious decisions.
I think it has a lot to do, you know, that echoes on my end. No, it's not there. But I think it has a lot to do with you know, the whole concept of love wins in the end, Jesus wins in the end. Well, spirit wins in the end. I mean, we're in this dense octave of incarnation, you know, and we're in the denser planes of being, and when we die, we go to higher octaves.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we go to where we're coming from. If you create a hell here, I think you go to one. You know,
yeah, it's always well. I guess we'll all find out ultimately.
We do go to spirit, and I don't believe it's, you know, there. It just all ends, you know, at the end of life. I really believe that there is a continuity, and that's where the spiritual law rules. Where here more the materialism rules, and all the perks of profit, power, pleasure, whatever, seem to. All this inordinate desires of things of the world, you know, the expression there is, you know, the most difficult thing in the world is remain not attached to all these worldly things. and I really believe in the end, well, you know, we go to the spirit realms and we do life reviews and we get it clear on, you know, what's the spiritual law regarding to what tests we had and what tests we passed. And what tests we failed.
Right. I think you bring up an excellent point, and so many people ask, and so many try to reflect on, what am I doing here, and what's the point?
Yeah.
And then they go from there, and they kind of ask themselves, well, who's in charge down here? You know, a lot of people obviously have a spiritual perspective, but they wonder, and I as you were mentioning it, I can't help but remember a very interesting verse, and once again to paraphrase it, that I think... interesting, it's in the book of Mark, and Jesus, of course, appears on the scene and is baptized by John the Baptist. Then he goes out into the wilderness, and
uh-huh.
he's there for 40 days, hasn't eaten anything, and here comes Satan. Now, whether, obviously, is it a metaphor, is it whatever it is, or is it literal? And there comes Satan, and it's the temptations of Christ in the wilderness. But here's the key. And he offers him, you know, he talks, well, if you do this, if you do that. But one of the things he offers Christ, if he'll bow down to Satan, if Christ, is that, look below you, this is all mine. I will give it to you if you bow down to me. And you kind of wonder, it's all his? What do you mean? And kind of reflect on that one, because, yes, down here in these denser realms.
In this dense octave of incarnation, the density... the laws of density and materialism rule.
Yes, that's right.
And in this, the higher spiritual octaves, the higher spiritual rules rule.
Yeah, and
in other words,
we're all on a path trying to find out, okay, I'm down here, where am I? We talked earlier about being very careful that we don't get caught up with spiritual materialism or attachment to non-attachment. And so we don't get off the path. You know, they can kind of deceive themselves.
Yeah, a lot of the big trap is how easy it is to spiritualize our stuff, our toys, you know, our things.
Oh, absolutely, right.
And anthropomorphize, you know, matter, you know, as though, you know, that all these things of the world, you know, the more you have, the better off you are. When that which you own ends up owning you.
You can imagine if you want to accumulate your spirituality as you would your material goods, you can fall in the same trap.
Same trap.
Once again, it's a very fine line to walk.
Between it. And the most, that analogy, the most difficult thing in the world is to remain non-attached to worldly things. And the expression there, which is obviously a paradox, is to want nothing is to have it all.
Yes, and there's so many parables out there, even from Eastern parables about people who spent their life trying to be non-attached, and then literally at the end of the whole thing, the guru comes and says, you blew it. What do you mean I blew it? I've been non-attached, you know, seven, look at me, I don't have any clothes, any food. Yeah, you're attached to your non-attachment.
You're attached to their non-attachment.
There you go. And rather than, as you say, kind of a, what I like to use the term, a kind of a non-judgmental awareness. In other words,
yeah.
You just observe at some level that doesn't go through the filtering system, you know, through the mind, the thoughts, the judgments, the garbage.
Now we're getting into the Buddhic realm of mindfulness.
Yeah, exactly. But I think there's something there, even in the Western culture, of really being mindful, because really what else is there in terms of really trying to find out what's going on? It's part of what's occurring today we just talked about. You turn on the news, or you even read a internet story.
Yeah.
What's going on here? How do you what state should your consciousness or awareness be in as you
well,
take
kind
all
of interesting.
This in?
It's kind of interesting how worldly news is programming worldly, you know, the worldly perspective. You know, and when in the world, you know, when in Rome, do as the Romans do, so to speak. And the internet has increasingly become a kind of a non-linear, decentralized rather than a centralized mass media top-down programming. It's bottom-up, grassroots, net roots. It's decentralized every which way. It's not one way. It's entirely non-linear, and it's really the expression of you know, not the of synchronicity, where there's a huge movement going on in that regard right now all over the world, and you see it raise its head in the Iran elections, and that gets the world's attention for a while. Different issues come up, and you get this whole global resonance or synchronicity in the collective consciousness on an issue. And I really believe all this drama right now is bringing to a head this whole issue of you can call it judgment, or you can call it the discernment, you know, mass discernment.
Right.
And
right.
And really where it's coming around to is, again, the exposure of all the BS belief systems, you know, religious, political, economic, you know, all the stuff that's going on. And the ideal is, again, somehow to check and balance the materialism with some spiritual practicality. With, you know, the idea of a government of spiritual laws rather than a government of men, you know. And
right, exactly. And you know, what's especially people in this program, I'm sure, are coming from various levels of experience, reflection. They're at all kinds of places. But not everybody, say, listening to this program has friends or relatives that are in this program. In other words, they're not as tuned in to some of these things going on. So the question then, as you go out there among your friends and relatives and people on the street, it's very difficult to convey some of these things and to communicate these concepts to the average person on the street who has been conditioned and indoctrinated into the worldly mindset and the worldly world view for so long. I see this in the students. It's kind of interesting. We have fairly diverse age groups, but, of course, most of the students coming in to the class are fairly young. They're you know, late teens, some early 20s, and so forth. And when you talk to them about, okay, what's like, and we live in a community here that's a really pretty good school system. It's not in a big city. It's not it's pretty free in terms of what the high school.
It's a community college.
Yeah, and anyway, so we come in and they... It's interesting to hear what little, unfortunately, basics they come in with. They don't, critical thinking skills, the discernment skills, you know what you're talking about. And young folks, plus, who cares? They've got other issues in their life to deal with. Some want to know, but they don't have a context, a platform, an idea of really what are we talking about here?
A frame of reference.
Exactly. And so what we have to do is realize that there's people out there, whether it be students or whether it be our friends and relatives, that just have no idea about all of this. And so we try to, in communicating all of this, try to kind of get to the basics of, you know, what can you say to folks where they can get some idea of not only the gravity of the situation, but what to do about
it. I think a lot of it is and we discussed this, that you can't, of course, legislate morality. You can't force free will. People will believe what they want to, and they sometimes people will react to someone else's belief system by believing just the opposite, just to be independent. You know, to assert their own independence, and you see that with children growing up, and whatever their parents want, they'll do just the opposite, just to be themselves.
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned you can't legislate morality, which is something, of course, a statement that's been around a long time. However,
yeah.
What I am seeing, what is being, if you want to use the word legislator or whatever, what is being indoctrinated is, in fact, ethical standards and morality. In other words, it's
right.
The opposite. We have
right.
Certain ethical points of view, and we could talk about ethics for the rest of the day, but we have standards and worldviews being is indoctrinated and put into not only the students, but it's a television, the entertainment industry, and so you mean indoctrinated and being exposed to this morality and these ethical standards all the time, which is the antithesis of the, in a sense, the consciousness necessary to cope with what's going on right now. And that's why you have even more confusion and more inability to understand what's going on because...
Well, it was very skillful the way the masses were manipulated with this last presidential election.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
And the way they would take the egregious abuse of power by the Republican right, you might say, and how they tried to make, this positioning the right as wrong in the mass media, and with the agenda of then positioning Obama as the new right that wasn't wrong, as a solution to the right that was wrong.
Yeah, basically what they were doing was holding up a mirror to themselves. And
projecting exactly right.
All of the problems and issues and conditioning that the media and all these people have, they held up a mirror and they condemn themselves, they criticize themselves, but they call themselves, as you say, somebody else, the right,
right.
The conservatives, the Republicans, whatever,
right.
give them a label. But
the level of manipulation there, and of course the fruit of that. Now it's kind of like, it's like after the Iraq War, when there was this mass fear thing, the momentum into the Iraq War with 9/11, there was the momentum of extraordinary fear, and we've got to retaliate, and the propaganda, weapons of mass destruction of Iraq, and all these fear things to get this war in motion, and then it didn't come out till later what the real story was with 9/11, what the real story was with the weapons of mass destruction, that the masses were manipulated. And people remember that. And they look back at that and they now see the same thing of how there was massive manipulation and nothing has changed.
Nothing has changed. Not at that level. Not given.
Yeah, right.
It was Einstein who said it and so many others. You cannot fix a problem at the level of which it was created.
With the same consciousness.
And here what we have are people, the government, the institutions attempting to fix problems by the very same people that caused them.
By the same people, the bailout
is impossible.
The bailout of the bankers by the bankers and forth. Bankers.
Oh, yeah, the bankers and all, you call the bankers, all of these higher-ups in the Congress and all the special interests and the lobbyists and the list goes on, they're the people that created all of this for their own selfish needs and everything. Power, we talk about power. But my goodness, they're being given the opportunity to, quote, fix it? Come on now. Probably one of the greatest deceptions that I've ever seen in my adult life are some of these so-called solutions to so-called problems.
The compound
mind-boggling how deceived we're being.
How the solutions compound the problems, the original problems, in the name of a solution and how it really compounds the problem.
It's created that way. That's the way it's meant to be because, as we said, at this point we have this incredible polarity between raw power, the love of power, rather than the power of love, but there's another side of it, and that is the power of love. There are people who are seeing this occur. They're trying to figure out what to do with their lives. They're trying to better their condition for themselves and their families and community. And yet we have the other side, which is the dark side, which has gone over to the dark side. And all they think about is essentially what makes me more powerful and what's in it for me.
All the perks. All the perks of profit, prestige, power. And usually it comes down to a special interest group, an oligarchy, a tribe of some sort of another that's really looking out for their own interests and really don't care about anyone else. You know, the classic special interests at the expense of the general welfare.
And that's, of course, worldwide. It's not just this country.
It's worldwide.
It's everywhere.
Right. And, of course,
and it's coming. It's coming. This darkness is, coming to the surface. And they say people are figuring out, what do we do about this? And they're
and
seeking
the reason
light.
And that's happening is there's more light coming in. There's more awareness. There's more consciousness of these issues because of this global village net reality. It's just all on the surface, and people all over the world are watching. I mean, I've read this many cases that people around the world watch what's going on in America closer than what's going on in their own country because they can. There is, it's just as easy to check out, you know, in many countries, except for like China where the internet's censored, it's just as easy to check out what's going on with the big drama in the United States and the big issues because they know it's a global village. They know that this is the power leader in the world and that there's no real competition, that America has, you know, more of a weapons industry than all the other countries in the world combined.
Yeah.
So there's this thing of people are looking to where the power is, and people all over the world are awakening to a connection with what's going on in America, and there's like a prayer field that's being created with the attention, and the expression is, you know, to pay attention with pure intention for the evolutionary ascension of all people, because we're all connected.
Right.
And this is the new movement or momentum and what that does, that brings up, you know, this pure intention of humanity to serve what's best for all humanity is bringing to the surface all these disconnects, all these special interests, self-serving, self-sabotage, you might say, in the social institutions. So there's a new social conscience in our social networks all over the world, and it's bringing up all that is less than light, all that is less than conscientious common sense. And this is, you know, the drama where naturally, it's not rocket science. You know, the more light, the less darkness. The more love, the less depravity. The more conscience, the less insanity. And this is the new revolution, the global revolution in higher consciousness that's basically sealing the door where evil dwells, just because every time those snakes crawl out, the collective consciousness is exposing them and they crawl back under the rock.
Yeah, these are...
So,
you know, what you're bringing up, of course, is something I said earlier. We're trying back and forth between all of this, these issues with the phone. Is that, of course, in a preparedness planning process, there are these two principles. The one is what we've been talking about now for quite a while, and it is establishing your worldview. It is establishing how do you see the world? What is going on? What is the purpose of preparing? Is it for you? Is it for family? For everybody? Are we all connected? And there's just so many philosophical or ethical questions that have to be done. And once that's assessed, then you can go to the plan of action and start reflecting on all the different specifics, the needs. But you have to have, kind of, in my opinion at least, you have to have a basis for action. Action without some kind of context, who knows what's going to go on. I've seen it in so many of these shows, people just kind of get caught up in this frenzy. They're wandering around and somebody stands up and says, you got to have this and you got to do that and you got to have blah, blah, blah. And people start lining up, oh yeah, give me one of those, and they stop. What are you doing? What do you need this for? Why are you going to do? And they don't think. Because they don't know really what their philosophy is or what their basis for action is all about.
Well, the basics, I think that's what's happening, is people now, the seriousness of the shift and the disintegration of core social institutions, it's bringing people back to what's really important. And the survival thing, the preparedness thing, I mean, you hope and pray for the best, but, you know, spiritual practicality, you prepare for, you know, come what may, and a lot of people are just looking real serious, you know, at all the other things they would normal buy or want, what they thought they wanted, and the basics come down to, you know, food, shelter, water, and just really basic core things, and some people can see that things might get worse before they get better. They
right.
can see that. And when you get to that point, you start thinking in terms of preparing for that possibility. And I know we're about to do a wrap here shortly. I did want to mention again that people can go to the Cosmic Love webpage. I've been talking to Dennis Korn of Prepared Direct with different food reserves and preparedness products. And there is a 5% discount for people that order through the end of July on his website, which is on the Cosmic Love website. Prepare Direct, and
yeah, you
can get
a code, 5%. You have a code number on there too.
The code number is 709.
Right.
The coupon code number is 709 for a 5% discount.
709, right? Exactly.
709 for a discount through the end of July. So, Dennis is going to do a wrap, and I wanted to thank you for coming on the show. It was kind of a bizarre show.
Yeah, it started, but you know, you do what you have to do.
And there are the links, the articles that Dennis has on the website, and I've got some other links regarding to some of the issues of the hour the issues of change and what you can do to prepare for come what may. So I want to thank everyone for listening. Look forward to Cosmic Love in a couple of weeks. If you'd like to be in touch with Dennis or myself, you can contact Dennis on his webpage.
Yeah, and I do want to extend an invitation to anybody who may be listening. On the website, preparedirect.com, you'll see a contact page there, a phone number. Give me a call. I don't mind talking to folks, so give me some ideas and so forth, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, Dennis will give you a free consult, and I will too.
Yeah, exactly. I enjoy that. That's what I'm here for. That's one of my calling. You know,
there we go.
Folks.
Well, thank you so much, Dennis, and we'll have to have you on before too long again.
Okay, Christopher, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye.
Goodbye for now.